I want to greet you again this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I really enjoyed the singing. I had never heard Thomas's song before. The song really spoke to me. Thank you so much for sharing that. I've titled my message this morning, The Power of the Resurrection, and as I was putting this together this morning, finishing some things, Vonda asked, well, what's your title? And so I told her. And so she went back a year from today when Harold preached. Harold, what was your title? The Power of the Resurrection. So if you want to hear another message on the power of the resurrection, go back a year and you'll hear another message on the same. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, celebrate it because Jesus is not dead. He arose. And because of that, we have so much to celebrate. I was thinking this morning about all the different religions that are out there. There is no other religion, and I call it religion, there is no other religion that has someone that is served that has died and rose again. There is only one true God. We need to know that this morning before we even start here. There is only one true God. As I was coming in, driving to church this morning, Vonda and I was looking around. It was enough daylight that we could see the red buds were starting to bloom. I'm not sure what the white trees are. But I just had to think to myself, this is about my favorite time of the year, I think. Seeing life starting to happen. After a long, I say a long cold winter. But seeing life begin to happen is just exciting. And I had to think, that's how it is with us. As we continue our walk with Christ. Yes, it's exciting when we're born again. But as we continue through life, we see different areas where we see new life happening. There's growth. If it's not, there's a problem. There should always be growth happening in our lives as we continue our journey. I'd like to look this morning at Matthew 28. For those of you who were here this morning, you heard Tim share a little bit about the ladies and Easter and the timeline, which I really, really enjoyed. Tim went to the book of John. I'm going to be looking at the book of Matthew. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time in the first six verses, and then we'll go to another scripture after this. But I'm going to spend some time just going down through a couple of these verses and seeing a little bit of what was happening. Excuse me, if you can maybe try to put yourself in that place, like I said the other night, they were also human. They were just like us. It's easy for us to place them at a different place where maybe they had something we didn't have. They were human. These are things that they actually faced. So let's go to verse 1 of Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. So it was just starting to, daylight was just starting to happen. And if we look at some of the other Gospels, we see that there was some other ladies that were also involved here. Here he just mentions Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. So they were coming to the tomb. If we back up into chapter 27, in verse 61, Joseph had taken the body, he was wrapping the body. It says, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. They were watching. They were waiting for the opportunity to go back in and to offer spices for the body. So here they are now. It's early in the morning. They're at the sepulcher. And by the way, I just want to mention something here this morning. It is not common to hear about ladies. It was not a common thing for them to talk about the women. in this time. In the website Evidence for Christianity, Dr. John Oakes writes this. He said, it was a common saying amongst the Jewish men of the time, thank God for not making me a Samaritan or a woman. Women were looked down on. I am so thankful that they're mentioned here. I'm so thankful that when Jesus resurrected, we all have the exact same opportunities. At the foot of the cross, we are absolutely no different. I'll just share this. As I prepare messages, I run a whole bunch of things past my wife. She has something that I don't have. I have something she doesn't have. And together, as we discuss Scripture, God opens things that I didn't see because of her. God has given us minds that can think. I am so thankful that we no longer look at our sisters, at our ladies, in a negative sense. They are necessary. They are needed. Yes, God has given us men responsibilities that they don't have. So I praise God for that. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. There was a great earthquake. Can you imagine what all was happening? Just before this, we had the crucifixion. And we saw the two men that were walking. We didn't look at this the other night, but the two men that were on their way to Emmaus, as they were talking, and Jesus came and he joined them, then he started asking questions, and they're kind of like, but where were you? Don't you know what all has been happening? Jerusalem, I'm guessing, was in, I don't know if I call it an uproar, but I'm sure there was a lot of questions. What's going on? So now we have another earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. So the ladies were on their way, and in one of the other Gospels, they were talking to each other, and they were asking, what are we going to do about this stone? History tells us it would have taken about 12 men to roll this stone away. It was a big stone. So as they were going, they were wondering, how are we going to take care of this stone? There was an angel there that had already rolled the stone. And I love the last part of that verse. He says, he sat upon it. What did Jesus do when he left here? He resurrected. I believe he sat on the throne next to his Father. It was done. I love the picture here that he gives. The angel rolled it back and he sat on it. It's complete. He's gone. The stone is rolled away. Verse 3, and his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. This is talking about the angel here. His facial features were bright. What he was wearing was very bright. If you remember Moses, when he went up to the mountain, he talked to God, he came back, and there was a glow going on to where he had to wear a veil. Here we see again the picture of the angel who had been in heaven. Verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The keepers here are those that were taking care. They were watching over the grave. They were the guards. And I'm not sure, did they faint? But it says they became as dead men. I guess I look at that, they probably fainted, we're not sure. But they became as dead men because of the angel that came. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. Now, if I would have been one of those ladies, I'd have been fearing. I get there, the stone is rolled away. There's an angel there. There was an earthquake. I'm guessing there was some fear going on, but the angel saw into that. He said, fear not. I had to think about this in my personal walk, and probably in your personal walk. There are times we come to areas where we're just not sure. There's times we face fears But I believe Jesus is telling us through His Spirit, don't fear. I'm here. We have a confidence that the unbeliever does not have. We can trust. We can believe. We can believe in a God who we know takes care of us. Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. That's what they were after. They were there to put the spices on His body. Verse 6, He is not here, for He is risen. One of the other accounts makes the comment, why are you looking? I'm not sure if I can state it exactly how it was. Basically saying, why are you looking for somebody dead amongst the living? I'm not sure if I said that right, but I think you'll get the idea. One of you know what that scripture says. That's what it was. Thank you, Ray. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. If Jesus said it, it's going to happen. As He said. My mind went to the fact that when Jesus left, He said, I'm coming back. Is He? My mom and dad used to talk about that a long time ago. We're in the end times. We believe He's coming back soon. I agree with them. We watch what's happening around us. It's not my message this morning, but I believe we need to be alert. We need to be awake because I do believe He's coming back soon. And my prayer is that everyone in this building gets to be with Him throughout all of eternity. That none of us misses that place. John 11:25 says this, and Jesus here was talking to Martha. Lazarus had died. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The power of death was broken by His resurrection. 1 Peter 1:3 says, we are born again to, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Telling us here that we are born again to a living hope. Peter's response here as he was talking was worship. When he saw who his Father was, the hope that he had, it was worship. How am I doing with worship? Am I spending that 2 minutes on my knees? Maybe it's as I'm driving down the road. Maybe I spend just a little bit of time in the Word. Am I worshiping? It's a lifestyle, friends. It's more than just taking time in the morning or taking time in the evening. It's a lifestyle. It should bleed out of us that we are worshiping a God who is alive. I want to look at this phrase in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. What's the word abundant mean? It means much. Plenteous. If it wasn't for His mercy, we would not have the resurrection. Plenteous mercy. Abundant mercy. What is that mercy? It's God's goodwill towards the miserable, towards the afflicted. Wait a minute. You mean God knew that I was wretched, I was miserable, I was afflicted, and still He showed mercy? Yes, He did. And He does. I am so thankful this morning that He didn't look down and see us and say, that's not worth it. John 3:5 says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I can't change that verse. Unless we are born again, born of water and of the Spirit, we are given physical life, and then we're given spiritual life. Unless we have that, we cannot. There's no maybes there. We cannot enter the kingdom. Without the resurrection, we have absolutely no hope. But with the resurrection, we have a living hope. It is sure. There's no questions about it. It is a living hope. It's knowing. It's believing. If we are living, if we have this living hope within us, no longer do we live under the bondage of sin. That's a challenge for me. It's only through His resurrection that I can have life, that I can be free. If my walk today is a walk where I am serving self throughout the week, and I think that I'm going to show up Sunday morning and I'm going to serve God, we're deceived. I can't make it any clearer than that. Living under the power of the resurrection is an everyday walk. I get excited every so often. We have people coming into the store where I work, and we have church. We get to talk about God. We get to talk about life in Christ. We have no idea who we are. They don't know me and I don't know them. But we have something that connects us. It is the power that comes through the resurrection. That sure living hope. The end of verse 6 says, come, see the place where the Lord lay. That's an invitation to come. His body is not even there anymore. It's gone. He's going back home now. I realize at this point, He was still living there amongst them. But where His body was is now vacant. Because He is alive. He lives. And because He lives, I live. You live. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. Excuse me. In 1 Corinthians 15 here, Paul is talking to a group of people here that were struggling with believing that there is a resurrection. The first four verses here, Paul is giving them encouragement. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried. And that's where we stopped on Friday night. He was buried. And we had a silent Saturday. Continuing in verse 4, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So Paul is telling them here, this is what I've taught you. He rose. He's no longer dead. And then we see it from verse 5 to 11. They list different people that saw Him. And this, by the way, is fulfilling a prophecy of those that had seen Him. If we go back and we look at the end of Matthew 28 there, the guards that were taking care of Jesus, taking care of keeping the tomb sealed, realized all of a sudden that the stone was rolled back, Jesus was gone. So they went and they talked to the authorities. As they went and talked to them, the priests, chief priests and the elders told them, we'll just give you money. Just lie about it. We'll just give you money. And if the authorities say anything about this, we'll take care of that too. So they gave them money, and the chief priests and the elders stood on that lie. Verse 5 through 11 proves that they were wrong, because these are people that saw him. Let's go to verse 12. And I'm going to read from 12 to 19. I'm going to read it in the NLT. But I want you to watch something. Because they didn't believe in the resurrection, there was a gradual decline, continued decline. Watch what happens as I read from 12 to 19. But tell me this. This is Paul talking. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? By the way, this refers back to verse 2, where he talks about them having believed in vain. For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the dead. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection from the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. There's a continual decline here as Paul is talking about their unbelief. The question that came to me as I read through this was that I say that I believe in the resurrection. I say that because of the resurrection, I have new life. But does my life match with what I'm saying? We all know that individually, don't we? Is my life matching with what I'm saying that he resurrected? Without the resurrection, we have no eternal hope. What we say has happened, if we don't believe, proves that we are miserable. We can't live in victory. The fact is, we're still living in our sins. When we're living in the power of the resurrection, we will live victoriously. Now, I'm not saying this morning that we don't have struggles. We do. Every one of us has struggles. But there is a difference when we are living in sin and we know it. Jesus came to give us life and more abundantly. Let's go to verse 20. I love verse 20 there in chapter 15. Paul wasn't willing to leave it set there. Verse 15 says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For sins by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Some of you might remember, as Sam was going through through Romans, he talked a lot about the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam being Adam that was in the garden. Sin entered. The second Adam was Jesus. As he came and he gave his life, through that we can all have life. Let's jump over to verse 51 of the same chapter. Again, I'm going to read from the NLT. Paul is saying here to them, he's saying, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret, a mystery. I want to reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. I just can't imagine exactly what that's going to be like. I have family, I have friends who have died. So do you. We have those that we believe are going to go or are in heaven that are with the Lord at this point. We're going to join them. We're going to be excited to see them, but I think way more than that, we're going to be excited to see our Savior. That comes first. I have no idea how long it's going to take for us to get used to the idea that we're in glory. But I look forward to that. Oh, am I scared of death? Let's be honest, yeah. There's a fear, there's a scare of death. But because of the resurrection, we know that He's going to be there to lead us across. We're not on our own. Let's go to verse 53. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled that says death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to read verse 58 in the King James Version. Verse 58 says this, therefore, and this is an encouragement for each one of us here this morning. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, nothing you're doing for God is useless. People may not see what you're doing for the Lord. That's okay. Do it for Him. He's keeping track of it. Do it for Him. If we are living, believing in the resurrection, we don't live a life of defeat. The scripture says we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's not me doing it, but that's Him. And that's me surrendering my will to Him. Surrender is a difficult word, I know. But it's where we all need to come to. This gives us joy in our journey here in this life as we prepare for that new body. Paul gives them encouragement. Put your faith in the One who has given everything. Give Him yourself. I want to close with a verse out of Romans. Danny, can you go to that next slide, please? Thank you. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. There's a word here, but. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. This is the Spirit that is to live within us. We hear today a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit all of a sudden coming on us. That happened in the Old Testament. And I'm not saying that there aren't deeper fillings. But if you're a born-again believer today, you have the Spirit within you. If you don't, you're not born again. That's what Scripture tells us. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, this is where He lives, within us. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. The idea of mortal bodies here is our earthly body. He's within us. He gives us life. How? By His Spirit that lives within us. I can't do that to you. I can show you by the Scriptures about it. But that's something you have to take care of. The resurrection offers us comfort. It offers us assurance, reminding us that our story does not end here. I may walk out that door today and I may never come back in that door again, except in a wooden box. It's not the end of Lynn. Any of us here, that could happen. That's not a scare tactic. It's reality. But that's not the end. When they roll that wooden box out here and they put us in a hole in the ground, it's the beginning. It's the beginning. Through the resurrection, we can have life. I said, put us in the ground. It is just a temporary spot. My mom and dad are both buried in the ground. But I know it's not the end. They're living right now. But there's a time coming when we're all going to be together. If we believe in the resurrection and we walk with Christ. Thank you so much for listening this morning. I know we're tired. We got up early. We got some awesome pancakes in us. Thank you for paying attention. Would you stand, please? Ernie, I'm going to ask you to lead. Let me see what the number was. Number 346 in the Faith and Praise as we close the service then. I know we've already sang that one. But I think it'd just be appropriate to sing that song again. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving your Son for us. What a blessing to know that life here is temporary. That we can spend all of our eternity with you. Oh, Father, I pray for each one in this building this morning. Lord, work in our hearts. Allow your Spirit to dig deep. I just pray, Lord, that we would walk this week in a way that shows that we believe that you are working within us. Thank you again for the cross, for the empty tomb, and for the resurrection that gives us power. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.